This is a sporting discussion talking sports of all sorts. My name's AJ Mithen, ready to wrap the year that was 2020 with my wonderful co-host Andrew Donison. Andrew, welcome to the show again.
I can't believe that we've got through the year, AJ. It feels like about 28 months worth.
Oh, doesn't it though? Wow. And it's not over yet. There's still a week to go and anything could happen.
Yeah, well, yes.
Anything is happening.
Anything is happening. I suspect that we might cover that later in the show as to what's going on at the moment. But hasn't it been a year?
What a year indeed. And you and I, Andrew, are going to go through and talk about who's had a good year, who's had a bad year, who's had an indifferent year, our favourite moments, lowlights. But more importantly than all that, we've got a lot of listener feedback this week, Andrew. Their favourite things, their worst, least favourite things, their hated things, moderate things that people didn't really care that much about but just wanted to put on the record for 2020, all of that sort of thing.
And you know what? It's 2020.
That's okay. Yeah.
Whatever you need to do to get through, if you just need to say, I didn't really like this, I didn't really hate it, but it was a thing that I remember, that's cool.
And one thing I didn't like was having to spring for, I think we've had ASD Stadium deep cleaned about 13 times now.
Yeah, but that's not for COVID though, so the less we talk about that, the better.
Different mutations.
AJ, let's kick things off with you. What was your personal highlight of the sporting year?
Well, it was that there was one.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were so bright-eyed, bushy-tailed and full of life and love when we were talking earlier in the year about, oh, the Olympics are coming, football's coming, rugby league's coming, union's coming, netball's coming, everything's coming. And then it all went on, a break. And when it went on a break, we didn't think we would see it again, did we? Be honest.
That was the big thing. Yeah. That when it stopped, I was like, oh.
I thought that was it. I was riding in the raw when the NRL tried to play on for a couple of weeks. I absolutely gave it to them in the on the raw, and then the next week, I'd say you got to quit, you got to stop. And then when they stopped, I thought, oh, geez, are they going to come back? I don't know if they'll come back, because at that stage. And we're all geniuses in hindsight, but at that stage there were grave doubts about people being alive, let alone sporting codes being able to finish their seasons.
That's the thing, because I'm not going to know the name, but there was one of the NRL players who there was a bit of a schmozzle with the standing down of the player because their child went to a school where a teacher was tested positive, and so they then themselves tested negative.
Aidan Tolman, I believe that was from Canterbury. Now, I could be wrong. Aidan Tolman, yeah, it was.
Yeah, and not only did he miss the Sunday night match, which was moved to Monday, he then missed the following week as well, which caused a lot of angst at the time. So we were in a situation, a very perilous situation, where it looks bad. So look, we're moving away from highlights, lowlights. Let's have a look at how the year started, because that'll get us very quickly to the lowlight that you've just mentioned, or the highlight, even the main thing.
It's the asterisk.
Exactly. We started the year in Australia with the tennis and Nick Kyrgios organising the bushfire relief match, raising $4.5 million to support people impacted by the bushfires. And we thought, great, we've got the bushfires behind us. We've got the Women's T20 World Cup coming up. What a wonderful year we've got.
Formula One is coming as well. It's time to move forward. It's time to get into our winter sports. And
Sunday night, the Women's T20 World Cup was played in the shadows of COVID. No one wanted to cancel it, and no one really was not going to go. But that was Sunday. On the Wednesday is when the NBA season halted. because someone tested positive and they canned a game with probably 5-10 minutes before.
It was Orlando Magic, and I think they were playing the Utah Jazz. I could be wrong on that. It was definitely the Orlando Magic. They'd done the warm-ups. They'd been out on the court. The crowd was in the stands. And just before the game was going to tip off, they said, "Sorry, everyone, we're postponing this game," which is unprecedented is the word that has been tossed around with. Gay abandon this this year, Andrew, but we're going to drop it a few more times here over the next 40-odd minutes, yes.
And then the next part of that was in Australia, the Grand Prix. So Thursday, people went to the Grand Prix and they watched the warm-ups, they watched the various events that were going on. And on Friday, people had left, they were lining up. I was meant to be going on the Friday, and then I've seen footage of this poor bloke who is reading the hero of early 2020
poor bastard,
saying, "I regret to advise that the Formula One Grand Prix has been cancelled." He doesn't look up at anyone. He just looks at his phone, just go, just read it out.
Give it to a straight, get the hell out of there.
Exactly, yeah. So,
but that was an interesting, that Grand Prix decision was really interesting because some of the drivers had already left, had already flown back to Europe.
Yeah, so that's right. Overnight,
yeah,
there were rumours that some of them had, and people are like, "Well, hang on, is it going to go ahead?"
Mm.
It's like, "Yeah, that's sweet."
Don't worry about it. Lewis Hamilton was 2/3 of the way back to the UK, but yeah, you know, we're going to continue.
Yeah, no, they're still here.
Raises an interesting thing, Andrew, that we'll come up more than once, and that's cash money. Cash money and contracts, because if there wasn't a lot of money riding on that Grand Prix for tourism, television rights, all that sort of thing, it would have been gone days earlier. Same with the T20 Women's World Cup. But at the time, like you said, at the time, the T20 Women's World Cup, we were kind of, something bad's kind of happening, but it wasn't happening here just yet. But we're just rolling on. And as it turned out, apparently there was a couple of people in that crowd who had, who did test positive to coronavirus, but it didn't get out and around.
I got the flu 2 days after going to that match, and I was like, "Oh no!" I was in bed for 5 days afterwards. I was cactus, but it was the flu. But
the Grand Prix was the start of the major cancellations, wasn't it?
In Australia, yeah. That was where people went, "Oh, bugger.
Wait a minute, yes."
And that takes to one of the first lowlights that we've got from listener Shane Webster, who we've had on the show before. Lowlights for him: AFLW being shut down without a premier.
Yeah, that was really, true. Really, really poorly handled by the AFL. I'm not afraid to say
they couldn't. There was no elegant solution to it.
They blew it easily. They tried to cram more finals in for television when they could have just gone straight to a grand final and got a result, because there were two teams who were standouts, North Melbourne and Fremantle, and they tried to make them go through a silly qualifying thing against teams who they were obviously better than, and they could have just said, "Right, you two are playing a grand final next week, or next Tuesday night, get it done, and then we'll award whoever wins gets the premiership." But no, they tried to stretch it out, and they probably shouldn't have.
So I'll go slightly against you there. I'm trying to find the little bits that I scribbled down earlier this year when someone was making that point, because yes, North Melbourne and Fremantle were clear.
Frio was six wins, no losses. North Melbourne 5 wins, 1 loss, and that was to Frio.
Yeah, but they had not played I don't think they had played Carlton or Melbourne, so there were
none of that matters at the time, though. You take the record for what they got,
but it does though, because they'd only played they'd had the easy wins. They hadn't played the good teams, and if they had have played a full season of the good teams, they may not have ended up on top of the ladder where they were.
Yeah, but so they were difficult. On top of the ladder when it happened, which meant they were robbed of being put into a grand final against each other instead of faffing about with an extra. I think they tried for a 3-week final series, didn't they, or a 2-week final series?
I can't remember exactly what they did, but they stuffed it up. But I think they should have just gone, oh, look.
Mind you, I don't think the AFL would be overly bothered that they stuffed up something to do with the women's comp, do you?
Oh, compared to the men's? Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not.
They couldn't give two hoots about the women's comp, but anyway.
Well, then you talk about a competition that was stopped when it was meant to still be going and awarding, you know, the awarding or not of a premiership. The National Basketball League, the NBL, they were a couple of – were they one game into the final series, two games into the final series?
They were three games in. Perth was leading Sydney 2-1, and there were two games to go. It was a five-game series. And, yeah, that got cancelled after three games with two to go. Perth looking likely because the next game was going to be in Perth and came to an agreement that that grand final series would be cancelled and there would be no championship awarded. So it's 2020 for me, Andrew, has been.
Was it no championship awarded or?
No, no championship awarded.
I thought they gave it to the team that was in front.
No, I thought they awarded it to no one. As we both frantically check our notes.
Yeah. So, because I was under the impression that they had awarded one. And look,
I stand to be corrected, but I understood.
Champions, Perth Wildcats.
Oh, there you go, Perth Wildcats. I take it all back. I thought they'd given it to no one.
No, but as I said with the AFLW, there's no elegant solution. Like, this is a 1-in-100-year event, or it had been 100 years since the last pandemic. So they had nothing to go on. And whatever decision they made was both correct and incorrect, depending on who you are.
Yeah, you're right. 2-1. 2-1 Perth Wildcats. I apologise. I thought they vacated it. But they did not. That's the interesting thing about 2020, Andrew. Decisions made under fire, under the heat, under the pressure. I mean, it's easy for us to take pot shots, but some of them were obviously wrong at the time, and some of them were obviously right, but took them too long to get there.
And others seemed obviously wrong at the time. Seemed wrong at the time and turned out well in hindsight. And I talk about the NRL and their plan to return. And Rod Brown came to us with one. His highlight was the NRL leading the country in announcing a well-planned return to the field post-lockdown. And Rod, the proud New South Welshman, seeing the smug detractors criticising a death ride in the move and then begrudgingly backtracking when it was a resounding success. Yeah. If it was the AFL who was so ahead of the game, Gillen would have won Australian of the Year.
It's an interesting point, Rod, because, the NRL and their chair, he's not an executive chair, but we'll call him an executive chair, Pete Vlandys, announced a May 28 restart after they shut down in early March.
And everyone said,
he copped it. Everyone said, you're putting everyone at risk. I think it was Peter Fitzsimons said, people are going to die because of your example. And Rod strikes a good point there. If it was the AFL that had said that, or if it was a different league that had said that, people would be like, okay, let's see how this plays out. But because it was the NRL, you're all morons. And let's tear in. And then it turned out that it happened because they had they didn't do hubs either.
Oh,
2020 was the year of hubs.
They had
extensive protocols,
and Storm and New Zealand Warriors.
Yeah, but they were
lucky.
That's two teams. You know what I mean when I say hubs. They had two relocated teams, but they didn't have hubs.
So what they did though was, They had the advantage of having New South Wales and Queensland teams basically covering the whole competition, bring those two other teams in, and they didn't need to. So they had a real advantage.
No, they had to rejig the fixture too, because they were supposed to be playing over in Perth and Adelaide and a couple of other spots as well.
Yeah.
But they, they got it together and they did it without. I mean, they kept their players to incredibly strict protocol bubbles, they called it, around the clubs, where you could only mix with certain people and this, that, and the other. But they could still go home at night. They could still, live locally, live in their own places and travel. The thing that changed a lot was the travel to and from games, particularly interstate. Every team travelled on the day of the game, which for some teams was a bit of a shock when they were, so the Newcastle Knights, who were absolutely on song, playing really well, not long after the restart, flew up to Townsville from a rain-sodden Newcastle up to a blazing hot Townsville, where they got absolutely ploughed by the Cowboys, who were absolute tripe this year. So there was little quirks like that about teams having to adjust and, preparations were different, and they limited the amount of grounds they were playing at, which meant Canberra, instead of being allowed to play in Canberra where there was no coronavirus, had to fly to Bankstown and then catch a bus to Campbelltown so they could play their home games in Sydney, because the broadcasters wanted it in Sydney. The ground conditions chopped up, and it was interesting. But they got out there. They said they were going to do it. They planned to do it, and then they went and did it. And everyone else looked as though, even if everyone else, like AFL, et cetera, was obviously wargaming and planning everything as best as they could, they all looked like they were scrambling when the NRL got up and going again.
Yeah, and look, I remember the commentary around when the AFL was sort of going, we're going to make a decision on the 1st of June, or I think it was, and then 2 weeks before, oh, AFL still have no idea what they're doing. Like everyone was getting stuck in, and, oh, no, Gil's not coming out. They said, we're going to make a decision on the 1st of June.
Yeah.
The week before, same. They said, we're going to make a decision on the 1st of June.
Sports journalism didn't have a great 2020, particularly in things like that. Even when McLaughlin was saying that, it's common sense if there's been no announcement, to act as if they've got no idea. Obviously, they haven't even met, they haven't planned or anything.
Yeah,
that's the vibe some journos were endeavouring to get out there, which was just wrong. Stirring shit for clicks because they had no actual sport to write about.
Well, and when you look at everything in retrospect, with, dare I say it, 2020 hindsight.
Ooh.
I'm
surprised it took 18 minutes for that to come out.
Well, I had it in the gun, but or in the barrel, but I didn't use it because I thought that it was stupid. But no, bugger it. The majority of the leagues and the various competitions, they did really well. They did really, really well. You look at the
you wouldn't know League. You wouldn't know after the restart. You wouldn't have known that the pandemic was going on and everything, apart from every now and again, players would be stood down because they'd given a fake name to their local cafe when they wanted to have eggs or something like that, like Paul Vaughan did. But hubs for Super Netball, hubs for WNBL, eventually hubs for AFL and all that. But you wouldn't have known. You wouldn't have known. In Australia anyway, over in Europe and America, it was just incredible the way that baseball at the NFL just said, well, we're just going to charge on. Just, screw all this. Which again circles back to the cash.
Oh, of course, yeah. Follow the money, and to a certain extent, you can understand that. But when it comes down to public health, then money.
Yeah.
Let's look at people's health first.
Someone who did have a bad year this year, Andrew, and it is the broadcast networks who had sports rights.
Yes.
It was interesting to see the reactions and interesting to see which codes had the best relationships with their with their television provider or their radio provider.
Not cricket.
There were some absolute shit fights going on. Right now we've got Channel 7 versus cricket. We had Channel 9 versus the NRL where the
Channel 7 versus cricket is hilarious. Oh. I'm sorry. I was like, we're not getting the international players playing in the Big Bash. Yeah, we never did.
Because
Hang on,
you've swapped games around because the Board of Control for Cricket in India asked you to. Where have you been?
Yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
And then wait a minute, what do you mean one day games are on pay TV and some of the Big Bash games are on pay TV?
You signed
on that deal, mate.
That is ridiculous. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, no, tests should open this summer. Tests absolutely should not open the summer.
No way.
I love the soft opening of some international T20s and one-day games. My nephew is, like, getting into his cricket, and he started to really enjoy it. And my sister sent me a message saying, I thought there was a one-dayer on today. I'm like, yep, but it's on pay TV. Mm. She's like, oh, well, that's completely and utterly ridiculous. I'm like, yep. Yeah. It really is.
Cash.
Yeah, money talks.
So, but it was interesting. The thing that stood out to me was the way those networks were talking about the sports that they have outlaid over more than $1 billion for.
Channel 9 and Rugby League was the worst, wasn't it?
Channel 9 stood up and basically made it clear that they didn't want the game, Rugby League, to start up again because it was going to save them something like, you know, $180 million or something. They actually reported to the stock market that they would be saving, and their shareholders, that they would be saving $180 million because they didn't think, they were kind of just daring the NRL not to start up again. And then when it looked like the NRL was going to start up again, they were out in public saying, smashing Todd Greenberg, the CEO, for financial mismanagement and saying, we're always bailing them out and blah, 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 which was false, by the way. They were claiming things that weren't actually true. But anyway, that's that. But Channel 7's done the same. The AFL seemed to get through okay. I think they moved quickly after they saw what Channel 9 was doing with the NRL. AFL moved quickly to renegotiate a bit of a haircut for Channel 7 and Foxtel.
But they've also just come out today. Foxtel and Telstra have extended their AFL contract to 2023-24 with a 20% increase.
Yeah, NRL extended their deal with Foxtel for another 2 years as well, I think. With Channel 9, they haven't extended anything. I hope to God that that's the end of NRL on Channel 9, but I doubt it would be because all the Channel 7's buried all their money in cricket and AFL, and Channel 10, you and I could buy Channel 10 if we felt like it tomorrow.
Well, that funny you should mention that. The Channel 10 cricket deal with, I think it's CBS in the States, would have been amazing. It was for $140 million less than what Channel 7 were offering, but they were going to have every men's and women's Australian domestic and international cricket game available on free-to-air television.
Mm.
So not just the internationals and not just the Big Bash, but they were going to have the Shield, and they were going to have the WNCL women's one-day, domestic one-day comp, all of that available on free-to-air. And
absolute madness, the deal Channel 7 took in the end. But that's just because they wanted a deal that had $1 billion in it.
Yeah, that seems to be what it was. Because I remember at the time there was a lot of talk about the deal and how the Channel 10 deal was significantly better than the Channel 7 deal. And there were some weird dealings that went on towards the end where I don't know what it was, but basically it sounded like Channel 10 had been offered it and then they went, oh, yeah, she'll be right, mate.
Yeah, we're going on to where there's a bigger check.
Yeah.
Let's talk. I'll just rip through a couple of quick highlights and lowlights of the years from some of our listeners. Stuart McLennan, Disco McLennan, on Twitter, his highlight was that any professional sport and a lot of grassroots competitions even happened in 2020. Lowlight was the sports rorts. Cooked Grant. There's a hoodlum going past.
Someone fanging down.
Someone's drifting in the ASD Stadium car park, Andrew. I'm going to call our security and sort that out.
Brian, can you
Brian,
tell us
wake up.
Thanks, mate.
Wake up, Brian. Jeez.
So you mentioned that Glenn Peters also had as a low light local sport stopping and a highlight local sport resuming.
Yeah, local sport took a massive, massive hit football, netball, soccer, baseball, hockey, basketball, all of those seasons, seniors and juniors, cancelled. Thousands of kids couldn't play. The worst part was thousands of adults and thousands of kids, tens of thousands, couldn't play. And the worst part was around in Victoria, and New South Wales too, New South Wales and Queensland, they were able to get some of the and around Australia, they were able to get some suburban leagues up and regional leagues up. But in Victoria in particular, they all got shut down. But there was a horrible, looking back on it, there was a three-week, four-week period in June where restrictions were lifted and teams were able to start training under restrictions.
Yes, and that's right.
Seasons were being rearranged and things were ready to go and start dates were announced, and then whack, it all just got shut right down again when the second wave kicked off. And no one could do anything. No one could pursue their passions, and more importantly for a lot of folks, they couldn't earn that extra cash that they rely on to get through a year.
Well, their sponsors, for two reasons. One, there was nothing to sponsor, and two, the companies needed all of the money that they could keep. So, yep. Which is,
clubs lost thousands and thousands of dollars income from punters coming to have a beer and a chat and watch the games and hang out a little bit afterwards. It was just horrible, horrible. But at least it looks local cricket's kicked off. Everything's, summer season look like they're going okay, but touch wood for all of that. But next was Ian Harkin, who gets in touch quite a bit. His highlight was the Women's T20 World Cup.
Maroons, it was awesome.
It was pretty good. The Maroons defying the critics in the Rugby League State of Origin. Low light.
Oh, yeah, they were meant to get smashed, weren't they? Because none of them had ever played Origin before. And New South Wales was going to be the start of their dynasty.
But Wayne Bennett was the coach. He is the greatest. He also said one of the nicest people in sport, Caitlin Thwaites from the Melbourne Vixens, bowed out a winner when the Vixens won the Super Netball competition. Best performance, Dustin Martin, a class above everyone in the AFL Grand Final. I don't agree with that, but that's who am I? Low light, in a year, this is a good one, you like this, in a year when we were lucky to have a grand final at all, the constant whinging of those who couldn't stand that the AFL grand final was A, in Brisbane, and B, was at night.
Yeah. So,
We did get a lot of Dusty Martin best athlete of the year submissions from people. I don't agree with that.
Well, look, that's very domestic centric.
And it's very recency biased.
He was awesome, though. Like, he won his third Norm Smith medal. Whatever you reckon about the first two Norms, he was the difference on grand final day. He absolutely was. He was the best player on the ground.
And, I don't know. Okay.
Well, 21 possessions, 4 goals.
Two junk time goals when it was over, but that's okay.
Yeah, but if Geelong had have kicked 2 goals when Dusty kicked those 2 goals, all of a sudden it's game back on.
Yeah, so, well, they didn't though, and it wasn't though.
So exactly, the game because was, Dusty
the
did
game,
it.
The game was already over. Anyway.
Dusty was the best.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was. But anyway, that's just me.
Who would you have given it to?
I can't remember his bloody name. I was just reaching for his name in the back of my head.
Dusty, clearly. And I've been one to say that he shouldn't have won the previous one. I shouldn't have won the first one.
He shouldn't have won the first one.
Bashahuli,
the first one.
And you know what?
Anyone could have won the second one because GWS were balls.
Give it to Jason Cassania for his no goals 5. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, I don't think he deserved the third one either, but that's just me. That's my hot take, Andrew.
Exactly. We no had facts to back it up, AJ. No facts. You're a hot take merchant.
lots of Tigers premiership was fantastic. But Andrew Prentice got in touch and said, Leeds United being promoted to the Premier League, Sydney FC's second successive A-League title. Well played to the A-League too, because they had to hub in Sydney. Their season got shut down with, I think it was something like 3 games to go before the finals was due to start.
That's right.
So they had to ship everyone to Sydney, play in front of no crowds.
Yeah,
get through those last 3 games, for which for some teams were dead ends. well, for a lot of teams were dead ends. There was only one spot really available. Yeah.
We can't make the finals, but you've got to play.
Yeah.
Why?
And then Sydney FC winning the final against Melbourne City with the goal off the boob of Ryan Grant.
That's right. Yes. He was good. He was very good.
It was a good game. I like the A-League. A-League's starting off again soon because they switched to winter as part of their 2020 reshuffles.
So some of the games have been pushed back because of the Sydney issues.
Yeah, Sydney teams are only going to play other Sydney teams, but those games are going to continue. And other teams will play as they're supposed to play and everything will get rearranged.
Which means if
and when New South Wales is back on track.
And it means that the mighty Geelong's own Western United FC will be opening the season against Adelaide United rather than Sydney FC and Melbourne City, who I think were meant to be opening it. So, yeah, down at GMHBA Stadium, thank you, AJ.
Yeah, well, if they're not paying us, we're not going to say their name, are we?
I don't even know what it is.
It's a health insurance company.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Get in your park.
We're open for sponsorship, GMHBA. a lot. A lot of it is local stuff. I was happy that they were able to get some Major League Baseball in. They reduced the season from 162 games to 60. So they called it a sprint, and some teams didn't get a whole 60 games in because they were riddled with coronavirus, and St. Louis Cardinals are one of those. Lots of games got rearranged. Lots of series were cancelled. Players were out sick because they didn't have any bubbles at all. They basically just said, screw you. If you get sick, we're going to charge on.
That's right. They had the situation where basically the starting pitcher, the three relief pitchers, all had COVID, and so there were teams that weren't going to be able to have a pitcher, and
with minor league play cancelled and independent league cancelled as well, there was literally no one in form or warmed up or anything like that. Teams had their home bases where they had players warming up and staying loose, but not being ready to play. But they were being called up. They were getting called up from spots like that. That happened to Australia's own Aaron Whitefield for the Minnesota Twins, who became the 35th Australian to play Major League Baseball. He got a couple of games with the Twins before he went down again because they were able to sort out their roster again. There was one really, really good thing that came out of Major League Baseball for Australia, and it was Liam Hendricks. Now, Liam Hendricks is the closer for the Oakland Athletics. He's from Perth. Was an all-star for the second year in a row and was also named in Major League Baseball's best team of the season as the chief reliever. Which is unprecedented, to throw that word out there again. He's a free agent at the moment. Last year he earned $5.3 million. US, not a paltry amount, but not a big amount when you consider what the big boys get over there. He's a free agent now, and at a minimum, he's going to double that annual salary. And good on him because he's been cut three times, designated for assignment three times, sent back to the minors, traded, moved around, and stuck with it. And now he's one of the best closers in the game, which is one of the most difficult positions in the game, and a bit of a massively understated achievement for an Australian athlete during 2020.
Yeah, that's excellent. I like hearing stories like that.
Yeah.
People firstly taking the opportunity, but also just, making it in the leagues that, it's bloody hard.
Yeah.
If you
do one thing wrong, they'll cut you because there are literally hundreds of others waiting to take your place.
Yep.
Well, we don't appreciate how ruthless that can be here in Australia.
No, NFL seems to be the most ruthless. They're just like, righto, you've got 165 people on the list. Okay, you, see ya.
Yeah, bye.
But we haven't done anything. Yeah, no. Sorry, mate.
And the best part about being an NFL owner is, contracts don't have guaranteed money. Andrew, I could, unlike your contract for a sporting discussion, if you were an NFL player, I could sign you. All right, Andrew, I'll say, look, I'm going to give you $100 million over 4 years, but only 15,000 of that is guaranteed. The rest of it depends. The rest of it depends on you hitting targets on the field.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And then you can pass them after a year.
Almost every contract in the NFL is structured that way, particularly for the big boys. The big boys like your Patrick Mahomes and all that, they obviously have much, much more guaranteed money. But your battler on the defensive line.
You've got $4 million contract, mate. Yeah. But I only got $20,000.
Yeah, he needs to do really well all the time. With the constant threat of being cut whenever the coaches or owner or general manager feels like it.
Feels like it.
Because they can bring in someone cheaper who can do the same thing.
Yeah, right.
It's rough. Rough, especially in 2020. Rough. That's why a lot of players in the NFL stood out in 2020 because they didn't wear their contracts were guaranteed. Well, whatever could be guaranteed was guaranteed. But they jumped out because they didn't want to get Rona, and NFL has been riddled with coronavirus. Games have had to be rescheduled. They haven't cancelled any because they're just powering on because they've got the biggest television deal in sports. I think it's something like almost $3 billion Australian dollars or something crazy like that.
For a
17-game season. And they have been probably something the NFL's been doing that no other league has been doing. They've been fining clubs massive amounts of money for not wearing masks on the sideline or going to team events, not social distancing and not wearing masks and things like that. I think, and they've been threatening to take away draft picks if teams are consistently found to be coming short in the COVID.
That's brilliant.
COVID restrictions.
Protocols.
Yeah, protocols, that's the one. I think New Orleans Saints, I think, have been fined over $1 million for... guys on the sideline not having masks on. That's how seriously they're taking it.
Well, you talk about that, and it reminds me of the biosecurity protocols that the English cricket team had to abide by, and also the Pakistan and West Indian teams when they toured the UK, because they had the UK, like you talk about. The NFL being riddled, like the UK, it was a complete shit show at the time, and they've got one massive advantage in that they have hotels at cricket grounds, and not just like a hotel next to the MCG like we've got here in Melbourne, but at Old Trafford you can check into your hotel room, walk out onto your balcony. And you are part of the crowd. Like the hotel is part of the stadium. It's pretty cool, and it was really helpful for them. So, but Jofra Archer, he went home. Yeah, down south, actually, up to Manchester from one ground to another. All he did was go into his house, pick up something and keep going, but wasn't allowed to do that. He's not supposed to,
and he was suspended for a critical test. Now, this is the thing.
Why didn't they have team transport?
I'm glad you said that because it allows me to segue into what I was trying to work in anyway. This is why we're such a good team, Andrew, which is you really got to see in 2020 who valued their sport and who just thought they were above it all, didn't you? With some of the behaviours it was obvious that some teams, some athletes, some individuals didn't really think much that what they did could bring down an entire league worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, that their need to dance shirtless in a nightclub in Eastern Europe. Novak. Usurped the need to be responsible and set a decent example or maybe, you know, look after yourself so you don't get sick. I'm bringing us into tennis, obviously, which was a really, really entitled, arrogant, selfish neighbour during this year, and it's only going to get worse when the Australian Open kicks off in February, because when they come to Australia, tennis people are used to getting what they want anyway, because they're pampered. It's a pampered cohort, but they are bringing all of their entourages, their trainers and all of that with them, and they are going to be hit with COVID protocols and restrictions like they've never had before.
they want exemptions, yeah, so that they can train in the second week of their quarantine. And it's like the Formula One as well. So Formula One has a huge entourage, like a huge number of people coming over, and the athletes there, the drivers, they similarly just do not want to sit in a room for 2 weeks.
What's the word I'm looking for there?
I'm not sure, but I'm just
saying, spoiled is the wrong word.
I'm just going to say they don't want to do it.
Yeah,
they won't do it.
Yeah, they don't think they should do it is probably the best way to put it.
But you look at the tennis, and you talked about entitled and spoiled, and only thinking of themselves. Now, talk to a lot of Australians last year, and they would have thought you were talking about our favourite, Nick Kyrgios. Mm. And Nick Kyrgios has been the one in all of tennis, not only through the bushfire relief, but now just going, what on earth are you morons doing?
He's had a great 2020, Nick Kyrgios. Isn't it a brilliant 2020? Who would have thought, starting the year with Novak Djokovic winning the Australian Open, Where Nick Kyrgios and Novak Djokovic were right then, they seem to have swapped positions, don't they? All of a sudden, Nick Kyrgios is the sensible one that people actually quite like, and Novak Djokovic is a crackpot who is a bit of a jerk, particularly after he got punted from the US Open for whacking the ball into the lines, Judge.
Yep. Now, AJ, have we changed our opinion of either of those athletes in 2020?
Not a peep. Regular loyal, beautiful listeners will know we have been all in on Nick Kyrgios since he started at the Australian Open as an 18-year-old playing that night game, and we have been all over Novak Djokovic for being treated as some sort of elder statesman of tennis when he's a jerk, really, basically a lunatic jerk who thinks he can talk to water to make it better for him.
That is my favourite, I think, Djokovicism. I don't even know what he calls it.
Feeling bad? Like, don't worry. Just tell your water that you need some good vibes from it, and good vibes will go into your water, and then you can drink it, and you get good vibes, feel better. Yeah.
So the Australian Open is apparently going to go ahead February 8th. Mm-hmm. It's been pushed back a week, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And... two and a bit weeks. Yeah.
The original plan was that they were going to have all of the lead-up tournaments would be played in Melbourne. There would be a festival of tennis. The latest that I saw is that the – are they playing in – is it Dubai?
Qualifiers are happening in Dubai, and then the tournaments –
fascinating.
Tournaments that would have been the Canberra International, Sydney International, Brisbane International, etc., are all going to be squished into some different kind of tournament in Melbourne before the Grand Slam starts.
But I love that they've got the qualifying in another country.
Fly everyone to Doha, which
Doha.
Is, that's
sorry,
tennis,
yes.
Man.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, we're
can I quickly just jump back to cricket? I segued there because Adam Collins gave a highlight and a low light from his year.
Yes, so good friend of the show and esteemed cricket writer and broadcaster Adam Collins. You got to give the right intro.
I would have just said wonderful human, Adam Collins. he's in Australia at the moment. He made it after 9 flight cancellations. He flew into Perth, did his 2 weeks quarantine there, so then managed to see the Indians get bowled out for 36 in one of the funniest days of cricket I've ever seen. Hot from Adam, highlights from my little corner of the sporting world. Stuart Broad taking 500 wickets and Jimmy Anderson taking 600 wickets. Glenn Maxwell's ton at Manchester. That was in the third one-day match there. He made 108 off 90 balls in a partnership with Alex Carey, who also made 100 for Australia to win. And Chris Wokes and Joss Butler partnership to win the first test against Pakistan from nowhere. So England was set 277. They were 5 for 117, needing 160. Joss Butler, 75. Chris Wokes, 84, guided them home.
Wow, two unlikely batsmen.
Yes.
Dug an opponent to an unlikely win against Pakistan, did they?
And the low light for the year was the women's cricket being pushed to the margins at international level, especially the cancellation of the 2021 World Cup, which was to be held in February, and it was just cancelled with no reason given. They just said, oh, yeah, and also this is now not taking place.
Yeah, that was pretty... Yeah. That was pretty
shit house. Too.
Yeah, shit house is a good way.
Yeah.
Cancelled with no... I think the half-assed excuse they gave was that players didn't have time to train or get games in.
No, so one potentially maybe sort of legit ones was the qualifying tournaments. They might not have been able to get those in. But the reason they can't get those in is because they don't give a shit about women's cricket and they don't try. True.
If they... Actually, as with the AFLW, if they wanted it to happen, it would have happened and it could have happened.
Exactly. Like Richmond Football Club saying, we don't have the ability to run a VFLW team, but we have the ability to pay a $100,000 fine for a couple of blokes going to the Rippers and getting a kebab.
Getting a punch on. Yeah. All right, Andrew.
No, that was just a dickhead pushing them. It was the going to the Rippers and getting the kebab.
Don't tell me I've been lied to about what happened after dark. Anyway, it doesn't matter right now. Andrew, we're approaching the end for 2020. Hopefully we can put all this behind us and the universe will provide us with something a bit more leaning towards normal in 2021. It won't be totally normal, but... I'll give you the floor to give your best and worst of 2020. So off you go.
All right. So my best was, I think, March the 10th or the 11th, whatever it was, at the MCG. I think something like 83,164 of my nearest and dearest watching the Australian women's cricket team absolutely monster the Indian
crushed cricket them, didn't they?
In the T20 final. It was so the tournament itself was great. So Thailand were competing for the very first time, and there were some amazing moments after the games that they played where the teams they played against who had thumped them, like just completely destroyed them.
Yeah, this is Thailand cricket. Let's get real.
Yeah. They would sit around in a circle talking cricket with the Thailand players, giving them tips and just imparting as much wisdom as they could on them. The third umpire was monitoring no balls for the first time in an international tournament. And
is that one of your highlights for the year?
It's the whole tournament and for that. Well, you know what? Yes. But it's so easy. Just have the third umpire do it. You did it in 2014 in a series, and you said,
All right. I know you're passionate. All right. But we are running out of time here.
174, the biggest to watch a women's cricket match, the most to turn out for a female sports event in Australia. And Australia just dominated. Beth Mooney, who was player of the series, she made 78 off 54 balls. And player of the final, Alyssa Healy, who hadn't had a great series. She made 75 off 39. She was brilliant. And then the Australians had India 4 for 30. It was game over and it was awesome. The Australia also dominated the post-match celebrations. Katy Perry up on the stage and somehow Molly Strano ended up finishing the night with Katy Perry's white boots. So well done to everyone there.
Yeah.
So the low light, I've got two, and we've talked about one. With 3 days later, when everything changed, that was bad. But probably my biggest low light was former cricketer Dean Jones passing away. He was just such a brilliant cricketer to watch when he was playing. He'll always be remembered as the face of one day cricket from probably like the mid 1980s and the early 1990s. He was almost bigger than cricket in Victoria. Like down here, we just adored him. And when he was playing, you'd watch just to see him bat. Like everyone in the primary school yard at lunchtime would try to bat like Dino. You'd have your legs spread wide, the sort of the bouncing in the batting stance. He danced down the pitch to spinners. He danced down the pitch to fast bowlers. He ran between wickets like nobody had ever run between wickets before. He'd turn blind, take the fielders on. So he was the best fielder in the game. He was the best batsman in the game. He was the best runner between wickets in the game. He was the most explosive batsman in the game. Maybe Viv Richards has got him pipped, but at the time, he was amazing. His 145 against England at the Gabba is still one of the best ODI innings, one that's ever been played, and two, it's the best that I have seen. Like, it was sensational. He still has the sixth highest ever batting average for Australian cricketers in ODIs.
I didn't know that.
Yep. He was the first cricketer to wear sunglasses. He was the first cricketer to wear zinc. He was a showman, but he backed it up. And he wasn't just a one-day player who played 52 test matches. He averaged 46.55. That is the top 30 of anyone to play for Australia. It was outrageous when he was dropped. Mark Waugh should have been dropped. He had scored four ducks in a row, 56 runs in six innings. But he wasn't. Damian Martin was brought in. Dino never played another test. And he then went on to become one of the best T20 brains in the world, coaching in Pakistan, in Bangladesh. He was amazing over there, and he was fantastic in the commentary box. So, yeah, Dean Jones passing away is my low light of the year.
Yeah, entirely reasonable too.
What about you, AJ? Highlight and low light?
Well, my highlight was that anything was able to happen at all, particularly around that March, early March, April, when it looked as though, I mean, like I said, we didn't know how many people were going to be left on the globe, let alone worrying about whether the Canberra Raiders would be able to play the rest of their season. And I know that's it sounds like I'm overselling it, but that's what the predictions were at the time.
At the time, we were dealing with the information that we had. Yep.
Looking back on it, look, everyone got on top of it as well as they could. Well, in Australia anyway. But it was, the fact that anything came back and the fact that we were able to watch anything and talk about it for our listeners and just sit down and watch football when the AFL decided to play, to go crazy and play a game every night for 3 weeks. And
it was awesome.
It was just bizarre. But, just having something to watch was always good because we love our sport. Sports being able to pull off hubs like the Super Netball and the WNBL and the A-League and the AFL to a lesser extent because they've got literally hundreds of millions of dollars that can help them hub. But competitions like the WNBL and Super Netball don't have that. But the fact they were able to get up into Queensland and play out a different kind of season but a season nonetheless, I think was just fantastic. Fantastic from an Aussie sports point of view. The low light for me is the flip side of that, which was all of the cancelled local and regional sport that people missed out on. I know I'll bag the Olympics and I say who cares about the Olympics, but the Olympics getting cancelled was a pretty big deal.
Massive. And next year, the 2021 Olympics being called Tokyo 2020 is going to be my favourite sporting story of 2021.
It's a quirk, isn't it? I don't particularly care for the Olympics, but I feel for the athletes who would have been all training and loading, and some athletes have had to retire with this postponement because they just don't have it in them to reset and go again. 2020 was their shot. One of the lowlights was just tennis in general, in particular the young crew. Forget Djokovic, we've spoken about him, but the young crew that kind of hang around Djokovic tennis as a whole didn't cover itself in glory this year because they were nakedly chasing cash, doing things for the cash, and that to hell with the health related consequences of either the players or people in the stands or anything like that. I really wasn't enamored with how tennis handled itself in 2020. Hopefully, and I'll really we've spoken about the Australian Open in 2021. I'm really pessimistic that that's going to be smooth sailing.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that it is. Yeah. I'm going to quickly run through a couple of other ones that we got on the social media. So Dylan Leach, who is a Richmond supporter who moved to Queensland a couple of years ago, at East Queensland during the 2020 AFL season, was like winning Tats Lotto for a footy fan. I was so lucky and grateful I got to go and see all this footy, let alone how the season ended. The fact the season even happened was amazing, which is entirely fair enough. Rowan Dixon, highlight, Danger versus Dusty in the grand final. Low light, sport with no fans. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Tim Dodgson, highlight, Tiger Time. So Richmond fan here. Low light, Dylan Grimes, not all Australian. Suck it up to me, whatever.
No one cares about Dylan Grimes not being an all Australian.
Exactly. And also all Australian. Like, there were no Hawthorn players that made all Australian in 1991 when they won the premiership. So cry me a river. Darren Edwards, low light, not being able to go to an AFL game for the first time in over 35 years. Highlight, having the AFL or any sport for that matter on TV during the lockdown in Victoria made being at home semi-bearable.
Mm.
Clinton Wilson, highlights, John Worsfold moving on from Essendon. low lights, this is something we've talked about before and I don't agree. Having to sit through another season of shit football across the board, can we just stop worrying about conceding goals and just try and score?
Amen, another Clint. That's another thing we can argue about in 2021, Andrew, how shit AFL is at the moment.
Another low light, I like this one. Ravi Ashwin not man-catting, even though I'm sure he wanted to in the IPL this year. It's not because Clinton is a man-catting supporter. He just said, I would have liked another Andrew Donison rant on the topic. Fair enough.
There'll be plenty of rants, yeah. Top us off with some listener feedback.
The last one, and it's something which I loved as well, Brett Logan, marble run. Always marble run. And Danny Nugent said, strongly agree.
Oh, like, I love it. Marble run was good.
Yellen's marble run was such a
remember at one stage, marble run, marble run was the only sport on earth.
Yep. Oh, I think Belarusian soccer might have still been going at the time.
No, marble run had a clear fortnight where it was the yes.
The only
anyway,
sport.
We've spoken about marble run, Andrew, and it's time to wrap it up. Thank you for your contribution in 2020. What an interesting year it's been. We're not going away for a long time. So if you've still got highlights, lowlights, whatever, you can tweet us at ASD_radio or go to facebook.com/sportingdiscussion. Join the chat group there. Pretty good fun. Lots of stuff coming in and out of there. Bring your friends along.
I didn't even get into the discussion today. Let's leave that for
another
time.
Not doing that. No, we're way over our scheduled allocation here. So we say thank you everyone for listening. Are you on Triple? No, Triple R's done for the summer for you.
Triple R's done for the year, so I'll be back first week of February. I think it is Monday in February. So I'll have some opportunities for sleep-ins on a Monday morning, which I will absolutely take.
Well, I am. ABC Central Victoria has also switched down for the summer back in January 18, but I'm happy to announce that I am filling in for the summer breakfast as sport reports on Monday mornings.
There we go. You can't get enough.
You can't get enough of us. So I will be holding fort until Andrew comes back and does the real thing.
Perfect. 7:15.
7:45 Monday morning from the 4th of
half hour sleep.
From the 4th of January. All right, that'll do us, folks. Thanks. Have a great year. Have a safe holiday. We will, Andrew, what do you reckon? We'll endeavour to come back sometime around the mid end of the Boxing Day test.
Yeah. Why not? I can see myself post Christmas sitting on the couch and watching sport on the TV. So, and AJ. We have a lot of sailing news to talk about, could probably do a full episode on that with you.
Speaking of highlights and lowlights, we will get to that in our next one. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great night. Have a great everything.
See ya.